All right, cool. Jehovah Rapha. Who knows what Jehovah Rapha means? Rapha. Raphael? No. Who knows what Jehovah Rapha means? Just like, if you've ever heard of it before. Not the tennis player. No, no. No? Okay. Jehovah Rapha in Hebrew simply means healer. It means Jehovah, Lord, the healer. I'm the Lord, your healer. And you'll see that in the text that we're going to go right into today, right? And where we find this name is in this story. Can you guys read it? I know it's a little... let me zoom in a little bit. Okay. Let's just read that. Can someone just read that real quick?
Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. Verse 24. Yeah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, "If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water.
Okay, thank you. Okay, at first, when I was studying this, it's just another name of God, right? We're going through a list, and it seems if it's the name of God, it's going to be quite natural for us to say, "Oh yeah, of course, the Lord is my healer." But I got into it. It actually became very. It's not as intuitive. It's not as I mean, not fully believe it. And I don't think this name is as easy as it seems. So as we go through it, I hope that we can really pay attention to Lord the healer. Is he the healer? Can he heal? I think some of the answers, like, we're going to say yes and yes, right? But there's going to be spaces and cracks in here that I want us to really look at and discover together as a group, okay? But this story here, let's go through the story here, right? This happens right after the parting sea, right? Right after the parting sea. And I'll have this. I think this is kind of funny, but I'll have Ryan read this. Okay, Ryan, you just read this. Right.
And Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, "I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider, He has thrown into the sea.
Yeah.
The Lord will reign forever and ever." And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?"
Okay. This is right after one another, right? And when I was reading this, I read it like 3-4 times. It completely made sense. Because you're like, oh my gosh, they're just, you know, they're so happy, and then they start grumbling. And then I thought, and I had this image. It's like, "The Lord is our God, yes." And you know, all the hands are raising. And, no, maybe. Not always, right? But at least when we see on YouTube, right? Okay, woo! And then he has thrown his rider into the sea. And then the Lord reigns forever. No, this is not the song, obviously, right? But this is going on in my mind. And then right after the worship, I can't believe he just said that to me. I can't believe this is happening. The grumbling starts immediately. This is just about, this is within days. It happens. They're singing and then they grumble. They're singing. I don't know if that happens to you. No, not you guys. You never grumble right after you worship. I mean, I've caught myself like driving and just praising God. And then the very next moment, a thought comes in and I'm like, oh, I'm not praising God anymore. I'm grumbling. Have you guys caught yourself doing that? No? Just me, okay. I'm preaching to myself today. That's okay. But it's not so uncommon. I think that's my point. It's not so uncommon. You know, when we think about the Israelites, they're praising God, that God did the greatest miracle ever, and then they go right into grumbling, right? Do they have a reason? Do they have a reason? Think about the last time you grumbled. Maybe I don't grumble. I'll think about the last time I grumbled, okay? I was looking up. What kind of people grumble? Oh man, there's different kinds of, you know, things about grumbling, right? They said, you know, there's some type of personalities that grumble a lot more, but it is common to all. But I'm like, oh my goodness, this is God talking to me, because I definitely have a personality and I'm not grumbling, but what does grumble sound like? I don't know about you, but you may not be like me, but maybe you've experienced grumbling. Can you name some reasons that people grumble? Not you, but people grumble.
The research says that there's some people who don't grumble.
No, the research says that some people grumble more because of their personalities. I'm like, okay, that could be me.
I think everyone grumbles.
Everyone grumbles? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone grumbles. Then there's some people who grumble more.
Sure.
That's what I'm saying. So for those, I don't know if we got a smaller class today. I don't know if we want to just throw it out. Just throw it out. Okay. What are some reasons why people grumble? Some root reasons, or any reason, if you can. Why? Just ask yourself, why do you grumble sometimes, and maybe make that into a reason. Those who are not satisfied with life. Yeah, that's a good one, Bob. Yes, that's a good one.
I think what I grumble is more like, you know, situations where, like, I'm expecting something and it doesn't get met, and then I'm like, oh, real mad, like,
oh yeah,
you know, like, why is it this way?
Yes,
you know,
I thought
faster, or
yeah,
you know, like something. Just, you know,
I like life like this, but it came in like this.
Yeah.
Okay, unmet expectations. Okay, yeah.
Not life in general, more like just situations.
Situations, you had a certain ideal for that situation, right?
Yeah.
And it didn't happen.
Didn't happen that way, or
yeah.
People, sometimes it's just like, you know, like waitresses or waiters, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
Service, right?
Yeah.
You'd expect something, and then it doesn't go that way.
Right. You know, I'm at a nice restaurant at the very least, right? You should offer me a standard.
Yeah.
And didn't get that.
Like airports. Oh my gosh, airports.
Right. So all the way to come out.
Airports.
Oh, airports. Okay. So restaurants,
like,
services, airports. All these things, people grumble. Yeah, you see a lot in the airport. People get mad. Yeah.
I think mine's a little different from Peter's, but I definitely agree. I concur with his, you know, when your expectations are not met. I think for me, I have, you know, plans or ideas. Not always people service. I think occasionally that gets to me too, but it's more like my expectations for how something should go along or proceed, or plans that I have made.
Oh, the plans you have made.
Yeah.
It should follow
Oh, yeah.
the bullet points. We all have bullet points.
Yeah, not bullet points, but just, yeah, I built up an expectation.
Of the process.
What it's going to
be. Whatever it's going to be.
Right.
Okay.
Or how people will be.
Yes, okay. So it's people and plans. People and plans. Anyone else? Anyone else, Grumble? Justin?
Yeah, I get bored at work.
Okay,
I'm
yeah, that's
using,
a...
I'm not using my brain.
You're not using... You're just like, oh, you need to be...
Staring at the clock.
You start grumbling, this is just
when
boring.
When it's going to be over.
Okay, yeah, it's a boring place. It's a, it's
sometimes,
it's,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. Any grumblers? Any other grumblers out there? Why people grumble? You don't have to say it's you.
So I was thinking of my kids.
Your kids?
They always grumble when
they, grumble.
They think like something's unfair.
Oh, yeah.
Like something happened to them that, like, hey, that, you know, that shouldn't be, yeah, mistreated, unfair, unfairness.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, injustice. Definitely. Right? People feel when they're not treated fairly. It belonged to them. Their privileges have been taken away.
Well, if I think of my children, for one of them, the root I know is discontentment.
Discontentment.
They're not content.
They're not content. That's what Bob was mentioning earlier.
Okay.
Not satisfied.
Right.
Right. They're not content.
Right.
Okay. Then they grumble. Why is it like this? Why is life like this? Why is this like this? Whatever this is. Yeah, this is very common.
One of the synonyms of grumble is like complaining.
Complaining,
right?
Yes.
So if you find a complainer, you know, I think
yeah.
One of the roots is, yeah, it's that.
Yeah, and I looked up a definition of grumbling. There's a lot of definition. It says one of the definition is not just complaining. A lot of people, everybody complains. This is a complainer who refuses to resolve the problem. I was like, whoa, this is getting very specific. I just want to complain, but I'm not going to solve this problem. Right? So, all
and
of
one of the definitions also kind of talk about being kind of complaining, like muttering under your breath. Right? So
yeah.
It's not always vocalized, but it's just kind of there, right? You see the cartoons of complainer, grumblers, mumblers under your breath, and it's kind of, you know, you always see that frustrated face, their posture is always in a certain way, their face, their brows are furrowed, they're never kind of like, you know, happy.
Under the breath, I do that a lot.
Oh, grumble is a onomatopoeia, right? Which is a word that actually represents the sound that you make literally.
Oh, yes.
Right, like a bird tweets. Tweet is a
tweet.
Yeah. Right. So grumbler is too, right? Because that's what you do.
We did that. Yesterday I was cleaning the toilet. I see all the pee around. That's why. Yes. Yes, I was grumbling.
Why is this so dirty? Why doesn't that anybody else?
Yeah, I taught him. I taught him. I told Jackson, you know. Anyway, that's. Yes, okay. It's everywhere. I don't know why, right? Put on the gloves. Yes. Those are the sounds we make. All right, you guys named it all. You guys know this.
graduated high school.
You guys graduated high school. That's exactly what the definition is. I think we, right? Unhealthy expectations, right? That's number one. Oh, suffering and pain. Of course, right? Loss and grief. That's a little deeper, right? Perceived injustice, doubt, and spiritual struggles. So this takes in the actual, you know, our faith, right? A lot of uncertainties. We have questions and doubts. That happens
when we grumble, comparison NIMBY, feeling abandoned or alone. So these are kind of the root ones. Whenever you're grumbling, just, and we're not talking about grumbling, we're talking about Jehovah Rapha, right? But it starts from here. You wonder why it starts from here, but this is just something for us to kind of gauge ourselves. When, like, when you're grumbling, it may be one of these or all of these.
Undrinkable water.
Where is undrinkable water? Huh?
Unmet expectations.
Unmet expectations. And you took me out of Egypt, and you're part of the Red Sea, and I can't get a drop of water? Yes. Okay, and what else? Maybe suffering too, right? So I've never really read this close enough. I'm like, dude, just, hey. You're a little dry and parched, right? You'll find water. But no, there's a reason why they grumbled. Check this out. 3 days. You can not eat for 3 days. Have you guys tried it? Yeah, it'd be fine. But 3 days without water, there's severe dehydration, organ failure. So you have how many people coming out of the Red Sea?
Hundreds of thousands.
Millions.
Millions?
1 million, right? Was it? So that's
at
you
least,
guys. Yeah, with children, with
it's like 300,000+ men.
Yeah.
Over a certain age. So
wife and
men,
kids.
Wife, okay,
so
kids.
Imagine 300,000 families with kids. Okay, a lot of kids, okay? And their kids are dehydrated. The moms are dehydrated in the desert for 3 days. If it's just this room, 3 days, and you're worried about, like, yourself and your kids and your family, I think there's going to be a lot of concern. Big logistical problem. You have this big old party, this big old gathering, and no water at all. Mind you, in the desert. There's going to be a lot of grumblers, maybe even louder than that, right? Because why? It's become critical. Their bodies are struggling to function. Their bodies are beginning to lose function. They're getting their kidney function is impaired. They're getting disoriented. I didn't know that. Yeah, inability to urinate, right? Because there's nothing to urinate. Low blood pressure, rapid breathing, weak pulse, loud. Just a million folks who has no water and looking to one man, Moses. I mean, you would grumble too. Would you grumble? What would you say? What would you say if you're like, you invited us out here in the desert? Yeah, you, Abby, you like me? You invited me out to the desert and you didn't provide water?
What would I say?
Yeah, what would you say?
I would like question him. I'd be like, why are you bringing me?
Why would you what?
Why would you bring me
here? Why would you bring me here? How about you, Clara?
I just complain about being thirsty all the time.
You just say, I'm thirsty. Yeah, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. There's no water. There's no water. How about Ryan? What'd you say? You would say, yeah. Right, that's right. No, you know, when I see him get hungry, he just bounces up and down. He doesn't say anything.
Really? That's not even exaggerating.
No, that's how he is. He doesn't say anything, but you know something's bothering him. He becomes a monster. So, yeah, everyone has different, but it's all grumbling in their own way. So I'm like, yeah, of course they grumble. This, you wouldn't expect them not to grumble after 3 days of looking for water, and they found none. What's worse, is when the water's right in front of you. And then they try to like, oh, I can't, have you? I don't know if you guys have, something is right in front of you, but you can't have it. I'm so thirsty, that's my salvation, but I can't have it. Whatever it is, that made him even more mad. Like, the water's right there, but I can't drink it. I see it, but I can't have it. That just stacking up on the grumbling now. Justin, I see you like,
It's like that let down feeling. You know, like emotional roller coaster. You're like,
oh, yeah.
You know, so you're going down. You feel like you're going up, but you're going down even more.
Yeah, that's rough, right? You're like, you're down, you're like, oh, hey, I see it. Look, something glistening over there. Oh, it's real water. Oh, yes. Oh, I'm so thirsty. My babies get to drink. And then they tell him, no, you can't drink this because it's bitter. How come you can't drink bitter water? Have you thought of that? How come you can't drink bitter water? Yeah, it doesn't taste good, but just drink it.
Do you have an answer?
I do have an answer.
How did anyone know?
Huh? No, I just thought, have you ever thought of it? I never thought of it until I studied this. Like, have you ever thought of, like, why can't I drink bitter water? Why can't they drink bitter water? Maybe you should just drink it. Yeah, I know. Maybe you should just drink it. Oh, it doesn't taste like sparklets in Egypt. Or whatever. No, I think there's a reason why they couldn't drink it. They could care less about the taste, right? I mean, when you're dehydrated and you're in critical condition, just drink it.
Dysentery.
Dirty.
Yeah. Like, you'll get infected and die.
Okay.
Could bitterness be like an indication that there's like poison in there? Or something?
Poison in there? Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So, biblical and scientists, scholars, said the most, the likelihood, that the reason why it was bitter, why was it water bitter, we'll skip that, is this. High mineral content. It's in the desert. Probably not animals pooping in there. It's just high mineral content. Magnesium, calcium, and iron. That's very common in the desert, in those waters, even today. So when you drink it, it's bitter. It does not taste good. But not only that, it's so much mineral that when you drink it, your body may not be able to take it and you might die from it. So they had two choices. Another two bad choices. Not drink and die, or drink and die because of the high mineral content. And when I look at these contents, I'm like, okay, what's magnesium, calcium, and iron? They sound like
stuff you need.
Sound like the gummy vitamins that my kids eat. And I eat too. I'm like, oh, you want some? Oh, these are good. Top three. Only one for the kids, but adults, I think, not three or four. Right? It's okay, right? Too much minerals.
It tells bitter.
So it's the stuff you need. In fact, magnesium helps muscle cramps. Sure, they had muscle cramps by that time, right? It helped calcium, potassium helps replenish electrolytes lost through sweating. They're in the desert and they are sweating. These are actual minerals that they need. I mean, that water is perfect. But they can't drink it because they'll die from it because it's too much. And it's bitter. So bitter that, you know, that's what the Bible says. It's bitter. You can't drink it.
Well, was it because that that it's actually helpful? Like, if they drank it, they wouldn't die. It's just that they didn't like the taste. It was bitter.
Okay, so all of them are preferences. They just didn't drink it.
I don't know.
It could
just
be.
Because if you look at if that's the case, then that water there is actually good for them. It's exactly what they needed.
It's exactly
but
what they
the
needed.
But the taste is not what they, it threw
them
off.
So they were just spoiled brats. I won't drink this water because it does not taste good. Could be. Could be. Either way, whether it's the bitterness or the high mineral content, which is really good for them, they didn't drink it. And God says, like, I have water here for you, but you don't want to drink it? I don't know. Like, the Bible doesn't say that. But it does say that it is bitter, and it's usually due to the mineral content. And too much of it will kill them. So they cry out to Moses. They grumble to Moses. Like, dude, you brought us out here? Yes, the parting of the Red Sea was great, but I need to drink water, and my kids need water, or else they're gonna die. Where's the water? Where's God who provides the water? So, all right, we'll go back to that text again, right? He cried to, so people grumbled against Moses, and Moses cried out to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a log and threw in the water. Okay, simple as that. And the water became sweet. Okay, we'll stop there. So, it's simple as that. So, they grumbled. Moses cried. God says, okay, take this log that you see here, throw in the water, and it became sweet. And they, you assume they drank it. Doesn't say here, but they drank happily. Now it's sweet. Now it tastes even better. It's not just bitter water. It's not just normal water. It became sweet water. And you look at this, the Lord makes Gatorade. No, seriously, he makes Gatorade because he just made it right. The mineral is perfect now for high activity, you know, for sports activity in the sun. They have to keep checking. It's sweet like Gatorade. It's not water. It has minerals, and it has the major sports drinks has sodium, potassium, magnesium, calcium. And look, really, I look at the context.
Gatorlight,
right? It's not Gatorlight is not too sweet because for people who have diabetes, that you know, God would be like making too much of a sugar drink. It's just light sugar, and if you look at the contents, it's exactly like that water. You got sodium, potassium, chloride, magnesium, calcium. Lower sugar, but still sweet. Gatorlight.
Gatorlight.
Okay, that's good. Seriously, God made them Gatorlight or Gatorade in the desert. I mean, that's pretty amazing. He knew what they needed, not just water, but water with minerals so that they can keep going because the water itself is not even good enough, the regular water, but they needed water with plenty of minerals. So God made Gatorade. What was, between the beginning of that story until now, what's the only thing that was missing? What changed? What changed? No artificial sweeteners. It's just gummy flavors, right? You have water right in front of you. You can't drink it. It's got everything you need. And then Moses throws a log in there. What's the real difference here?
The difference between
before they can drink it and after they can drink it.
The log? I mean the sweetness. Right?
Yeah, the log. The sweetness. Who is in the log? It was a special log. What was in the log?
It was a staff. It was Moses' staff.
It was just a log. What was in the log that made it sweet?
Glucose.
Well, it was the power of God, right? I don't think it was the log itself.
Right.
I think it's just God showing them, like, when you cry out to me, I'm gonna have a solution, and just show them the log.
Right. It could have been anything. It could have been, throw this stick in there, throw that rock in there,
yeah.
Right? So when there is a grumbling situation, and then there is crying out to God, I think the situation itself many times doesn't change. The situation itself is probably many times has good content there. The only missing ingredient would be that God will just simply make it sweet. And then you're able to take it in. The only missing ingredient many times is just God being able to change the situation. If he does not change the situation, if he does not throw the log in there, if he does not do something intervene, that water remains bitter.
You know, this is a this passage is a perfect example. I don't think I've ever heard any preaching or teaching on this passage this way, but this passage is a perfect example and reminder for us about what faith is. Because here, the big contrast I see is a lack of faith and someone with faith.
Okay.
Because like you said, right, Israelites came out, they witnessed the most amazing miracles in their life before their eyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like crossing the Red Sea and killing the Egyptians and all that. They were praising the Lord like, if this is God, my whole life I'm following him, right? But then what happened is, then they went through this period of seemingly not seeing God. 3 days.
Okay, yeah.
Right? They're in the journey, they're in the wilderness, they know how to survive there, but they're going somewhere they don't know. Right, this is not a region they've explored, so they don't know. There's no map to where the oases are. But they're going with faith, because, right, when you go somewhere you don't know where you're going, that's faith. You still move, but then their faith lasted 3 days. But they start to waver. The faith starts to dissipate, you know, evaporate. Then they come to a place with water, but that water is not drinkable, like you said. But they're not thinking about God. They're complaining to Moses, because Moses is the guy who led them. All they saw was Moses, not God.
Mm-hmm.
But then the big contrast then came, like you said, is they grumbled against Moses, a man. But what did Moses do? He didn't grumble back at the people. He could, right? Like,
you grew by your kid peeing all over still, right? Like, just turn it back at you. But he knew exactly what he needed to do. He went to the Lord. And the Lord told him to do something, actually, that makes no sense.
No, it doesn't.
Because you do not throw a stick into undrinkable water, and then you know that it turns into something that...
In fact, that's never in the handbook of anything. No. Any survival.
No, not scientifically, nor a biblical thing, right?
Yeah.
And so I think Peter is right, is that what is in the stick? Nothing, besides the fact that God said, do this.
Yeah.
Right? So then what did Moses do? See, this is now suddenly such a contrasting example of faith is, Moses went through the same thing everybody else does, but he knows God is with him, and God said, do this, it doesn't make sense, but he did it anyways, and guess what happened? He saw that the water not only is drinkable, it's sweet. It's the best water there is ever.
Yes.
Why? Because he had faith that God is with him always and that God's going to give him what he has. That's not the end of the story, obviously. But at this point, when you're asking, like, what's the difference? I mean, what's in the log? No. Nothing scientifically, biologically, or anything. It has to do with faith. It has to do with God making it. But how did that miracle occur? Because someone had faith.
Right.
To follow God's instruction and say, I know God will make something that is the end of men, but he will make it happen for
him. He had no idea it would be Gatorade.
He didn't know.
He didn't know.
Right.
He just had faith. So my takeaway, and I think the easiest thing, is because of this Gatorade came up, I said, you know, whenever we're encountering something this coming week, just make it very practical. Just so that I remember it, and you remember it, and exercising faith, you can just tell yourself, God makes Gatorade. Seriously, when you're grumbling at something, and like as Pastor James was mentioning, it is all about faith here. It's not nothing, no log in the world can change that water from bitter to sweet. But if you're unhappy, if you're here about anything, right? Which I know I am. If you're on any of this that makes you grumble, you should be thinking about this verse and say, see, God makes Gatorade. He can. That is faith. He can make something that's bitter to sweet. That makes no sense, but he can. If we cry out to him and he intervenes, he can do it. That's what faith is about. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he can. What are you grumbling about? And if you just take it to God and say, you can do it. You make Gatorade out of nothing in the desert. You can do something about a situation that I'm grumbling about, a situation that I'm suffering from, a situation that I'm struggling in. There is that faith aspect that this verse, this story is teaching us.
There's another question I think it benefits us to ask. That's so good for us to think about that God can make bigger, you know, because that's oftentimes the best thing that we need, especially when our body is dehydrated. We need that. I think it's beneficial for us to think about why did this situation occur? Was God behind it?
Oh, that's like, next week.
Oh, is that next week? Okay, all
right. Oh, we're running out of time. Yes, you're right. Because there's more. You come back, there is more. Okay? So, but for this week, and you got to come back too for next week, please. See you later. Okay? No problem. I think that's when the main text, it says, Jehovah Rapha. We haven't even gone to Jehovah Rapha yet, right? The healer. Why did he say that I am the Lord your healer? They were not in need of healing. Were they injured? Why did God say, I'm your healer, when none of them are asking to be healed? That's strange. So...
Was it?
Sorry.
Yeah, okay. I was just saying, are you going to go to it next week or?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, because the passage, I mean, the verse, the words before it, he's saying that I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians.
Right.
For I am the Lord.
Yeah, why?
Because I think the Israelites at that time, I personally think, like, they were still in shock of everything that's happening.
Okay.
You know, because, like, they were kind of comfortable in Israel, even though they were, like, you know, slaves and stuff. But, like, coming out in the middle of the night, getting pursued by Egyptians, it's like one after another.
Okay.
It's like, again? Oh, man, what else are we going to go through? Even, yes, I'm not taking away all the miracles that they've seen, but the nature of us is that way. I still think that they're on track. So, in their hearts, I think they wanted to go back to Egypt.
Okay.
And God is saying, no, I'm going to be the healer. All those diseases that you think, like, that the Egyptians had, none of those are going to be on you because now you're going to follow my statutes. You're my people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, I think it's a comparison between, you know, them wanting to go back to Egypt and live that life, then God is saying, no, I have something better.
Mm-hmm.
For you, because you're going to be mine. That's what I think.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I think, what do you guys think? Because it is a strange place where God says, I'm your healer, even though you don't need any healing right now.
I think it's a parallel, like, to me, if I were an Israelite, I guess I would see that he was the healer immediately of the water, right?
Okay, yeah,
I would say that
right.
The healing actually came to the water.
Yeah.
Right, but then I'm the drinker of the water, right?
Yeah.
So, I think in a way it's a way to show them, like, in your areas that are bitter in your life, I'm the healer. Just like how I heal this water from unusable, undrinkable to restorative. I can also do that in your life.
Yeah.
And I think it's like an illustration to them. Like, look, I heal things. I'm the healer. You know,
yeah.
I'm your healer as well. Physically, you know, emotionally, whatever, in the areas that you need healing. I think it's like sometimes it's, you know, I think of like the Israelites as like, you know, young children that they need like a real life example that they can like taste to say like,
okay.
You know, it's not like only conceptual.
Right.
I'm your healer. I'm just going to say that. What does that even mean?
Right.
Healing, but they've tasted bitterness, like literally tasted bitterness. Now they're tasting sweetness. Now that healing is like not just conceptual. They actually taste it.
Oh.
The healing of the Lord. And now they can begin to understand what it means for the Lord to heal them in their lives as well.
Oh, so you mentioned something, and we'll talk about that next week, both. I think, you know, Peter and Cindy, both of you guys are tapping into something of why this happened. So, but you mentioned something that I didn't even think about. In order to really appreciate that sweetness, you kind of have to taste that bitterness too, so that tangibly, and not conceptually, but physically, you taste the goodness of God. He is my healer. Because, man, I've been in this bitter place, and then God did something. Now it's really sweet. Like, I can taste it now. Not just think it, but I can taste it.
You know, I always think that that's what God wants Christians to experience.
Bitterness.
It's not just smooth. It's not just smooth sailing, everything's fine. Because God can provide constant water. You drink water, you drink water, you drink water, you drink water, it's always water. Water doesn't taste good, doesn't taste bad, and what you sustain. And actually what happened is you forget how good God is. Because when God has something for us, it's always better than just the
it's fine, it gets by. It's always amazing.
Right.
But how do we appreciate that? It's because there's a contrast. That we understood that because we're walking in faith, so when God gives us in faith, it opens our eyes and it lifts our spirit, right? And it allows us to appreciate Himself so much more.
Yeah.
For sure. I think that contrast, it's what we need. Like, human beings need that. Like, if we can always exalt God for the mundane things and the everyday provision and just be so grateful for it without a contrast comparison, that's great. But we tend to not be like that.
Right.
We take things for granted, right? God is good to us, and we start to think we deserve it. And so then He removes His blessing from us, and then we start to complain, right? Because we never appreciate how much He has given to us. But He allows us, because in our nature, I think we need that jolt,
yeah.
We need that contrast, and it allows us to think that.
So,
you know?
Yeah,
and
so I think it's okay. I think this grumbling, we see it always as a bad thing, but grumbling, the beginnings of it may not be a bad thing. It's showing us from the grumbling that perhaps God is doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps that God is bringing you to something better, right? So I think, I know next week we'll tap into that a lot more, but just like you said, the sometimes we're not grateful for it, so we start to grumble. And God allows, He turns the dial down a little bit to let you see that, hey, okay, it's not always like this. It's because I'm constantly providing this. Oh, and then you begin to be more thankful and less grumble. So there's a lot of things going on there. But for the sake of this week, if you have an area that grumble, I don't want us to miss out on the faith part. We'll talk about more of it next week too. But just remember that God can make gateway, that there is that room for you to exercise your faith, whatever you're grumbling about, that God can. Only if He can just intervene. Only if you could cry out to Him, He can change the situation. Immediately, He can, just like He did for the Israelites. That's available to us today. So,
So be like Moses and cry out to the Lord.
Cry out to the Lord.
In a situation, rather than be like Israelites and just grumble, right? Israelites face difficulties, difficult situations, grumble. But now apply our faith and be like Moses, in which we cry out to God and know that God will provide. Like, I think you're drawing us to saying, like, use our faith on God who can.
Yeah.
Right? And so we cry out to Him and say, Lord, I know You can, so help my attitude to turn to You with faith that I can claim what You would have for me.
Yeah, and this week would be a good opportunity for you to go to God and ask Him for that situation. Yeah, because I sometimes forget, I just grumble, but I don't go to Him. I'm grumbling, right?
But then focusing on what you just said.
Yeah.
Is grumbling bad? Not necessarily, right?
Not necessarily. And we'll see next week, right? There's a purpose to grumble. So I don't think we should have a negative connotation to grumbling, because that's a natural human reaction. Because when you say grumbling is bad, and you should always be like, oh yes, praise the Lord, sing songs. I think that's kind of fake too. Because then it's just behavioral modification.
Right.
There's no real attachment to God. It's just that you know how to fake it now. Oh yeah, God's good. No, I think I wish to pass it out. You know, he's so hard. You know, he does that thing, right? I think it's okay to have times like that, because that's a real human reaction. It's okay. Don't feel like you can't do this, but we don't always stay there. But when you do this, like the Israelites, I think the point is, oh God, I'm having a hard time. Please help me. And then that's where the intervention comes in. So I think grumbling, you're right. I think grumbling is fine. It's human, God created our emotions to come out this way. Otherwise we'd be repressed. And that's another problem. You don't show it, you're like, yeah. But you are repressed.
Yeah.
Because that is another situation that we don't, you don't want to be this either, but you don't want to be like, oh, I'm fine. But I'm not fine. I don't think God wants us to, so there's two. I think God wants us to be free. Right? And the one of the ways to be free, and I'm learning this too, is actually embrace the grumble, embrace the pain, and don't fight against it. And then ask God, say, hey, come in, make my bitter water sweet. And then from there, get better in a real way, not behavioral way, right? Not pretending to look better.
Yeah. Like sometimes I think like the grumbling is honesty.
Yes, that's a start.
It's being real with mm-hmm. God and you know your frustrations and stuff like that. It's not really like you're not really complaining about God. It's just the situation. You're just grumbling about the situation. You know, and it sucks, and like you're frustrated, you know.
Yeah.
And it gives you the time and the opportunity to kind of reflect. Well, what is the main point? What is the root cause of this frustration? And
yeah.
God wants you to work through that
yeah.
with Him.
Yes. You know? As long as you're working with God through this, I think that is the best kind of relationship during that time.
Yeah.
You're like, I have doubts. I don't feel God. He's so far away and I'm struggling. God, come on, help me. People sing, I love you, Lord, but I don't feel it. Well, God's gonna work with you through that. And I think the struggle is the progress too. And it's a beautiful relationship. It's not always like, I'm just praising the Lord. I think this is praising the Lord in the midst of it too, because you're exercising faith as you're struggling, right? So everyone has their own pace. It's okay if you're here, if you don't feel Him, if you don't really think about it. I think in your own pace, God allows that. That's why He's our Father and Shepherd. Just make sure that you're still talking to Him. Oh God, help me, where are you, reveal yourself to me. And I think that's a good rule of thumb. That's a good rule of thumb to embrace. So that's it for today. God makes Gatorade, He can. God makes Gatorade. When you're feeling down this week, you say, hey, God makes Gatorade. He can make it sweet again, okay? All right. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this class. Thank you for your word, that you are so mindful of our struggles and you do not condemn us. And you show the story, even back in the Old Testament, even when the Israelites struggled and grumbled, you provided for them. You revealed yourself to them, even in the midst of their grumble. And that's when they got to meet the real you and who you are, that you are their healer. As we continue to learn about you, Jehovah Rapha, help us and remind us that you're not pushing us. You allow us to be at our own pace, and you walk with us in our own pace because you're so patient with us. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.